I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say there's a lot of them that I'm glad I'm not. But I am glad I'm one of them. Are you glad that you're one of His tonight? Has He done great things in your life? Is He the best thing that ever got a hold of you? Oh, give Him a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Amen. Bought by the precious blood, kept clean by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the message of the hour with all of our hearts. How much better could it get? How much better could it get in your life? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now I want you to turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. You folks on this side, you'll have to move around a little bit. Shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. Let's sing some.
Everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost.
Oh, yes.
Winds are made them believe it is burning now within my heart. Oh, Lord, to
this day, thank the Lord.
I'm so glad I
want
I
you to sing it like you believe it. Praise the Lord.
Well, what a privilege it is to be a believer. It's not something I dread to do, to be a believer. It's one of the greatest privileges. It is the greatest privilege of our lives to be a believer. When your house got stopped at that day or that night or whenever it was, and God showed you this truth, the highlight of your life. It changed you forever. Have you forever been changed? Somebody say, I'm a changed human being. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you sit down for just a few minutes. Then we're going to stand back up and we're going to sing and worship the Lord tonight. But I will let you rest just for a few minutes tonight. This was sent over to the library from my sister Evelyn. Her husband's brother's wife is very ill, lymph node situations, and they're fearing cancer. Just asking that we would really pray for her. She's a denominational Christian. We just pray that God would be mindful of her situation and may she receive her healing tonight. Sister Mary Lewis says to thank you for praying for her while she was in the hospital. They said I had a septic infection. The day I was released, they said I had no infection. Only God could do that. I'm asking you to pray with me because I am very weak and trying to gain my strength. So we certainly pray for Sister Mary Lewis and her family tonight. Brother Randy Scott says, I want to thank you, all of you that prayed for Sister Rachel. The Lord has touched her and she is feeling so much better. May God bless you for your prayers on her behalf. This is another request from Sister Evelyn. I'll be doing a CT scan and an ultrasound to check what's happening within this old body. Just continue to pray for her that the Lord would be mindful and give her healing. Her sister Kathy is also going through the same testing as myself. Pray that for her also, and I'll be praying for you folks. So we just commit those folks under the Lord tonight that God would be mindful of them. I want to pray for Brother Danny Therese, fighting a very bad infection, really wants to be in church. Let's pray for him tonight. Sister Estep is taking radiation treatments. They're leaving her very weak. Please pray for her strength. So let's continue to remember her tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Sister Courtney Babb tonight, not feeling well, unable to be in the service. So let's remember Sister Courtney tonight. Brother Terry Horn says, please pray for my granddaughter, Emmy, who is 6 years old, has the flu. Thank you very much. So we pray for that need tonight. The Lord will be mindful of that child. I want to continue to pray for Brother Warren Arendt. He is having several procedures done, and he desires our prayers. Just a lovely brother, a lovely family, and we just want to commit them all unto the Lord tonight. All our assembly that are going through different kinds of sickness and stress and tests and whatever, we just pray for God to, He'll give them strength. I believe that with all my heart. He'll get them through this. Don't you believe that tonight? You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. How many of you know we're serving a prayer answering God? Do you really believe that? Do you actually believe that? Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Randall, come tonight. Lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Certainly appreciate Brother Randy Gisdander and his family. Love you, buddy. God bless you.
Let's just bow our heads this evening. Most gracious Father, we bow our heads in your presence this evening, Lord, thanking you for bringing us to your house once again, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Many needs were read, Lord, by Brother Louis. I know you're mindful of each and every one, Lord. Some are serious, Lord. Some not so serious, Lord. But you're mindful of each and every one, Lord. And I just pray that you touch and minister to each need, Lord, that was spoken, Lord. Every need that was shown by the uplifted hand, Lord, I pray that you'd be mindful of each and every request, Lord, that's on the heart of the people tonight, Lord. Thank you for bringing us once again together, Lord. I pray, Lord, as your manservant would come around in a little bit, Lord, and bring the words of life to us, Lord, I pray you'd speak to every heart, Lord. Meet the needs, Lord, that's inside of each person, Lord. May we gain a little strength, Lord, for the journey to fight the enemy in a way that we never have, Lord. Give us that extra strength that we need, Lord. We ask all these favors and requests in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Brother Randy, God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here with us in the service tonight, we certainly want to welcome each and every one of you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make this announcement. The Louisiana Youth Camp bus list is in the library. Please register for camp. with Evening Light Tabernacle website before you sign the bus list. Now remember that. If you're going to the Louisiana Youth Camp, that list is over in the library. Go to the Evening Light website before you sign up for the bus list. So everybody remember that. I'm sure you'll, if you go, you'll be blessed. You'll enjoy it. You'll come back revived and be a blessing to whatever assembly that you're a part of. Always good to see our young people get to go to that. So remember those announcements tonight. Let's sing, before we sing our song, let's sing a little chorus, okay? Just to kind of get everybody's voice limbered up and get ready to sing. Praise the Lord. Y'all are really good singers when you sing. When you don't, I don't like you as much. But we're going to sing and worship the Lord tonight. You come to worship, didn't you? You come to have church, didn't you? You come to give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords your praise tonight. He's worthy of whatever you give Him. He's worthy of it tonight. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Let's see if we can sing that little chorus tonight. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Prettiest name I ever heard in my life. Amen. Oh, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Reaching higher far than the brightest star. Oh, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the saints proclaim what a lovely name. Let's sing it now. Oh, yes, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus.
Reaching higher far
than the brightest star. Oh, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the saints proclaim. What a lovely, you gotta sing that one more time. Oh yes, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus.
Reaching higher far than the brightest star.
Saints proclaim what a lovely name.
Soon He'll come in clouds of glory.
Oh, yes, He will.
Saints of every race shall behold His face.
Saints proclaim what a lovely name. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Amen. Let's sing a little song. We wore it out years ago, but we're going to sing it again tonight because I believe, just like you believe, that He's coming back just like He said. And you know what? It's closer now than it was when you got here. It really is. You believe that tonight? Give Him one more hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord tonight. Hey, everybody.
High upon a mountain, from where He ascended, the angel of the Lord declared that it would
be. Oh, yes, He did.
He said, "Don't you stand here grieving,
thank you, Lord,
for this one that you see leaving in like manners coming,
thank you, Lord,
back, just like
I want you to
he
sing
said,
it with all your heart, church. Said. I believe a trumpet's gonna sound so loud, it'll resurrect our dead.
In the twinkling of an eye, He'll split the eastern sky.
Amen. Bless your heart. You're just doing real good. I like you now. I like you a lot right now. God bless you. You can be seated. We have a couple of specials tonight. Sister Chloe, where are you at? Somebody said they seen you come in. Where is she at? It's Chloe Cox. Where is she at? Is she hiding? Is she coming? Do you see her anywhere, Brother Larry?
She's coming.
Or she's walking down the aisle. God bless her heart. Let's give her a hand tonight as she gets ready to sing for us. Then Brother Harriet's going to sing a song for us tonight. I don't know what he'll do, but he'll do something. We'll like it, I know. Praise the Lord.
See.
want to see.
We do, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. We desire to see Him, don't we? We can see Him in the Word. That's really the place that we can be identified. To see Him in history, that's wonderful. See Him in art and pictures, seeing by people's idea of what they think, that's okay. But if I can see Him right here, I guarantee you, I won't see Him by Himself, but I'll see me with Him, and I'll see you with Him. Amen. Let's turn tonight to Romans chapter 7, if you would. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Privilege for us, isn't it? To gather together in the presence of God. Amen. Certainly glad to have each of you that are here with us. A few visitors that have stayed over from the wedding. We're happy to have you all with us as well. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. We'll read verses 4 and 5, and then verse 18, and then verse 21. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who's raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Isn't it amazing that He makes it sound like we're no longer in the flesh? Because we're not if we're born again. Notice in verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now remember, he's not talking about the will is not in the soul, but the will is still in the unconverted, unregenerate flesh. Verse 21, I find then a law, then when I would do good, evil is present with me. How many knows that same law? You got up with it this morning. It's been with you all week long. Now let me read to you again the meaning of the word bipolar, which is what every Christian in this building is tonight. Spiritually bipolar. Now don't fret though. There is medication for being bipolar. It is the gospel. Now the reason some of y'all get all bent out of shape is because you don't take your meds properly. But if you take your medication, you'll be a good boy. And life is tolerable. You'll be able to deal with it. Bipolar. Having or marked by two mutually repellent forces or diametrically opposed natures or views. Diametrically means completely opposed, being at opposite extremes. Well, praise the Lord. Don't you appreciate the Word of God? There's nothing that can so describe us like the Word. And help us to look and see ourselves, and we're ashamed of what we see and don't like it, and yet we're glad we see it, so that we can be better people. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word tonight. Dear God, we ask that you once again would help us. Truly, it is our desire, Father, that we can be the right kind of people. We desire to be a faithful people, an obedient people, to the promise that you've given for us in this day. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we've been called to this hour. We thank you that we have been illuminated by the power of God. We thank you that you help us to see the other part of ourself which has not been illuminated but must be subjected. Help us, I pray tonight, Father, as we sit here in your courts. Once again, may we be instructed by your divine presence. May we be a better people.
when we leave this place tonight. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you again about an overcomer in the galleries. Let's read again what we read last week, question and answer 64. The individual reads Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 18. For we know the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, soul under sin. For that which I would do not, that which I would, that I would not, but what I hate, that I do. If I do that which I would not, I can unto the law consent to the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. This I cannot understand. Well, Brother Mem says they wrote that out the scripture, and that's Paul speaking to the Romans. Now, let me just kind of polish it up so you can see. He said, in me is two persons. Bipolar. In me is two persons. Right, one wants me to do. Wrong, the other wants me to do. And every time I start to do right, then wrong hinders me. Now, I want you to notice the words now that Brother Branham uses on this, that he doesn't say that wrong overpowers me, but wrong hinders me. You see, if wrong is your master and you can never do right, you need the Holy Ghost. But even when you get the Holy Ghost, wrong will be there to try to hinder you, but it does not control you if you are born again of the Spirit of God. But it is an ongoing battle, and by the grace of God, we're going to win this battle because we are more than conquerors. Now notice his words. Even one word can make such a difference. He says, every time I start to do right, then wrong hinders me. How many of you people on the interviews this afternoon run into the same thing this morning? See, the same thing. I spoke on it this morning temporarily. Now again, he deals with it in thirst, and to me it's one of the best descriptions that I've ever found in the message and how that he lays it out. The contrast between the converted and the unconverted part. And he dissects us in a sense to where that we can look at ourselves and see the way that we truly, truly are. Thirst, paragraph 29, he preaches many, many times, thirsting for life. He called it various things, 1957, 58, 59, 61. But the clearest one to me is this one in 1965. And I might remind you that it was preached in an Assembly of God church. Now we find that God gives the control tower to you to give you the things that you need. Now the control tower in you is what directs you. And the thirst runs in on this control tower. Now listen how he describes this. Now God has given you a control tower. And God has given you thirst. Now they are plural because you have more than one. And then the thirst actually runs in on the control tower and whichever given aspect of you that we're going to look at. The thirst runs in on that control tower, and then the control tower begins to send forth the message to the particular part of you that it responds upon. And then you begin to react according to the link from the thirst to the control tower and to the part which correlates with these two. Now there is a thirst in the body and there is a thirst in the soul. When we're of the world, then they are all pretty much one. When we become born again, then we have two separate control towers, two separate desires, two separate thirsts, two different mainstreams by which these are satisfied by. Notice he said the control tower in you is what directs you. And the thirst runs in on this control tower and tells you what you have need of. Spiritually speaking, the control tower in the body and in the soul. Now watch how it separates it in the body and in the soul. There is a control tower in the body that tells you the things that's needed in your body. And it's brought to you by thirst. And there's a control tower in your soul that tells you the spiritual things that you have need of, something in your spirit, and you can tell by this what kind of a life is controlling you. Now, if constantly everything about you is controlled by the natural things of the world, and it is constantly money and things of the world and the things that are made up, the cosmos, the world order, then that within itself will tell you who it is that is the controlling factor of your life. Then if you look at yourself and you see that in you is a natural desire in you to feed and to drink and to have fellowship, to have a girlfriend, a wife, a family, sisters to go shopping, to buy this and that, brothers sometimes that like to go hunting or fishing or playing golf, are any of those things sin? They are not, unless you allow them to become sin. Now this is the problem that we run into with this control tower which is left unconverted in the flesh, that there is a natural desire in us to be comforted in natural things that we enjoy doing, which are not sin of themselves. They are not sin unless it actually brings you into bondage and you become a slave. Now actually Brother Ram said that the women could become slaves to shopping because they run here, they run there, they're constantly looking for a new fashion, constantly trying to outdo this woman and that woman, and he described that as actually being a slavery to shopping. Oh my Lord. Well, you know, it could be the same way with brothers or the golf club or a new bow or a new gun or whatever more, that you become a slave. Now, there's a great balance in being able to enjoy those things. You know, the prophet enjoyed shooting and enjoyed guns and rifles and things like that. And we'll, when we become closer and closer to God, does that mean that we'll stop eating and we'll stop going shopping and we'll stop going here and there? It does not mean that at all. But what it means is that we will bring that under such control of the Holy Ghost that it keeps it to where we are possessing our vessel in total sanctification. To where that if our body desires excessive things, and that's what makes many things wrong, is when our body desires more than is what actually a substantial need to be able to meet that thirst. Then it becomes excessive and it becomes lust. Then by the Spirit of God, He wants to bring all of that under control. You follow? Now, you are doing your body a very great service by submitting it to the headship of the Word, because you're going to lead your body to a body change after a while. Now, everybody that listens to their body and lets their body lead their body will lead their soul into tribulation period. But those who forbid for their body to lead their soul, they will lead their soul and body into the rapture. Now, notice now, even on the saved people are these control towers. Notice again, he says, when you can see what your desires are, then you can tell by that what kind of something that's in you that's creating this desire that you have. Now, you know, we talk about sinners and things that people do that are born in sin, and really they cannot help that in the sense of being born lost, and they're born wretched, and they're born pigs. So guess what? They're going to eat slop. They're going to act like pigs, talk like pigs, look like pigs. But what is unfitting is when people are professing they are Christians and they eat the same slop the world eats. Well, now we've got a problem, because you're professing to be born again. And that's one thing you'll never find is a Lamb of God eating slop out of a pig trough. So there's something wrong when people are professing that they're born again and their appetites and their desires or of the cosmos or of the world order. Now, when I say of the world, I'm not just saying alcohol and prostitution, fornication and all that, but being angry excessively is of the world. Having spiritual pride is of the world. Being arrogant is of the world. Being stuck up on yourself is of the world. Thinking you're better than other people is of the world. That's right. It's just as much worldly as smoking a cigarette. Well, thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's right. Now notice, so he says there's something there that's creating this desire that you have. So there's a certain thing that you thirst for. And you can tell in your soul by what the desire is, by the nature of the thirst that you have. So the nature of the thirst that you have defines the king that is on the throne of your heart. Now, will the Lord Jesus, as I said, take away all these natural desires we see these young men and young women as they get older and they start looking for a boyfriend and a girlfriend? Does that mean that they're carnal? It does not. It simply means that they are growing up and it is a natural thirst inside of them. Do our sisters desire to be pretty? They do. And the prophet said they should. He said they should desire to be that way, but yet not to be pretty in the world the way the world defines them. But it is as pretty is, as he simply quoted it, pretty is as pretty does. So in that sense, is it wrong for our sisters to want to look decent and all that? It is not. Should our brothers come in tonight looking like cavemen and lay their clubs on the back of their shoulders and, you know, dressed in long hair and eating camels and, or not camels, but locusts, dressed in camel's hair like John was? Well, you know what? That wouldn't be very fitting in this day. The Dickens might run you out. So is there anything wrong with us dressing up and trying to present ourselves halfway decent? Not within itself, unless that becomes an idol to us. So will the Holy Ghost take that desire out? Oh, my, I saw this pretty dress down there the other day, and it was decent. It was the right length, and it wasn't too low and all that. It wasn't form-fitting. Brother Donnie, is that lustful and wrong? No. That within itself is not necessarily wrong, unless it becomes idolatry to you, to where you've got to be the first one to go down and get it. And then when you come to church and Sister So-and-so's got one just like it and you refuse to wear it anymore, then I'd say there's probably something wrong with your attitude. Well, praise the Lord, because you don't want nobody else to have it. You're going to a place where Brother Branham saw everybody wearing the same thing. Long white robes. And apparently nobody was bothered by it, because he never said anything about anybody mentioning, I look like him, she looks like me. They all was wearing the same thing. Oh, happy day, happy day. When the vanity of human flesh will get out of the way. Now, in this then, the new birth does not take away from us the desire to succeed. The desire to be able to have a job and to be able to provide for our family. Is that wrong? Is that sinful? Does God want all of the message kids, all the message young men, all of them to just go out here and bust up dirt clods and pick up aluminum cans on the side of the road? Is it sinful and wrong for some of our brothers that have the ability and are gifted to be able to excel and go on to college? Not at all. Not unless they make an idol out of that. They should certainly seek God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Now, I'm not smart enough to be a lawyer, to be a doctor. Well, really to be much of anything, but yet I'm glad that there's some folks that are. I'm glad there's some folks that have a desire. Aren't you glad there's doctors? Aren't you glad there's nurses? Aren't you glad there's people who've done this? Well, you know what? That they wouldn't be able to be one unless they contributed a lot of their life in order to bring it to pass. Now, that might not work for you, but that doesn't mean that we don't need them. So does that mean they're wrong in becoming that? Absolutely not, unless they make an idol out of it. Now, does that mean that they're carnal because they'd want to have an education? No, it does not. It will depend upon the individual. Now, maybe for some of you, you'd never be able to get a degree in this and that and the other because it would go to your head. But other people are able to go through it. They're able to go through the application of studying it all and accomplishing it all, and they feel like it's part of who they are, who God wants them to be. And as long as they keep that spirit and that attitude, you'll sit right by them in church and never know that they've got a degree in this and degree in that and degree in that. And the only degree you know is sweat running down your face when I'm preaching on you and it's so hot. That's the only thing you know about degrees. But that don't mean both of you ain't going to heaven. Both of you are children of God. Does it mean that you're more spiritual because, you know, you don't have that degree? It does not. Does it mean the other person is better than you? It does not. The most important thing is for each of us to find what God wants us to be and be satisfied with that and not be critical of everybody else because they do not meet our spiritual criterion. Oh, my. Well, thank you, Jesus. Now, the thing we look at, of course, is bringing it back. As he says, you can tell by what's in your soul what the desire is, by the nature of the thirst that you have. I hope you can understand that. By the nature of the thirst that you have. Now, people, the desire to have more knowledge and more understanding. Well, I want to be smarter than my daddy. I want to be smarter than my pastor. I want to be smarter than the message preacher. I'd advise you to come down to the altar and get that thing off of you. Now, if you need to do that because of the job and the vocation that you feel like God is sending you in, that's one thing. But to be able to be smarter than somebody else and a know-it-all attitude, you'll get worse and worse the more education that you get. So you look at what's creating that thirst for more knowledge and more understanding. Now, myself, I never finished high school. I never graduated. I never went to college. But you know what? I didn't stop learning just because I got out of high school. I'm still learning all the time. I'm finding new words, and I've got a dictionary on my phone, and when somebody says a big old long four-barrel word that I don't know what it is, I try to say it into my phone, and if my phone can't understand me, my phone would probably make faces at me sometime, but some of the words I'm trying to look up, and I try to type in me and Carol together, but I want to know what it means. So I haven't stopped learning, and I'm 60 years old, and I want to keep on learning, don't you? But why am I learning? I want it to be a benefit. I might be able to pick a word up somewhere and it would be a benefit for you. Not that I could say something really long that would impress you somehow. Y'all ain't impressed by that no way. But it would enlighten our understanding. Is there anything wrong with it? There is not. So it's the same way with our thirst and what's creating that within us. Now watch in paragraph 31. He said there is a control tower of the soul and one for the body. Notice now two separate ones. And each tower is a warning caller for the needs of the other. Now these towers that are in you, now know that you did not have these towers when you were a sinner as far as having two. You only had one. Because you had one life, you had one nature, you had one makeup, everything that was in you was lost. So one tower was sufficient for the soul, spirit, and body. But once you become born again, converted, then God, by his predestination, grace allows this other tower connected to your seed, soul, nature, of course. Then God puts that inside of you by creation, and it allows you to be able to tap into that which you have need of for your soul. Because in reality, we don't know what our soul needs. We may have come to church and I think, God, I need this and I need that and I need that. Now that may be to the best of your evaluation, and you think that's really what you need, and yet the Lord knows that ain't what you need at all. And you go to open it up, oh God, speak to me, God, give me what I need. There you go. Then your soul can be able to reach out. God, help me. Lord, I want to pull on the gift of God. Please help me tonight, Lord. So the soul goes to reaching out. You understand? Now, it's the same sense in the body. Now, watch. He said each tower is a warning caller for the needs of the other. Each one calls for the need of what the caller is calling for. It sends out a wave of warning. Now remember, this is invisible, but this is going on in us all the time. Now, say a person would come up tonight for prayer, and they've got these certain needs in their body. Let's say they got high blood pressure, and the doctor has told them, you got to cut back on your sodium now. You're going to have to quit eating this and this and this and this. Now, they're looking to God for healing. That's within the law of divine healing. But there's also another law which is working in their body. Now, the doctors told them that sodium is working against them. The doctors told them, don't eat this and don't do that, because every time you do, it's raising these levels in your body. Now, will the law of faith override the law that is the natural law in their body, and God go ahead and heal them of that? If they were a baby Christian, I'd say yes. But if they are a mature Christian, probably not. Because both of those laws must work together as you are a mature child of God. Now, you can come up for me to pray for you all day long for all your different needs, and there's certain things I can pray for you over, and God will honor my prayer and do it. There's other things you want to get close to God, you need this, that, and the other. I can pray for you till I die right on this platform, and God will never answer my prayer because you are not doing your part of the law. So some of these things, both of the control towers are calling together. So if there's a need in your body and your soul is calling for the need of the healing of your body, and then it runs in upon that because you know you're not quite the same when you're sick. You can't serve God like you could if you were well. So it runs in on the control tower of the need of the body. I'm not feeling well. I know I need to be well. I want to feel better. And then it runs in on the soul and saying, soul, help me. Help me, soul. I want to be better. But if you're not doing this or this or this, or you should be doing that or that or that, both of these are calling to the needs. You folks understand what I'm saying? Both of these are calling to the needs of the other. Now, when two laws are absolutely required to bring one result, God most of the time will not override by his sovereignty the one natural law which we are required to do in order to bring to pass the spiritual law which we really want for our soul. Now, whenever we look at it in the sense of the children of Israel, and many times when God moved for them, there was times that God would come and supernaturally he brought down the walls of Jericho and used hornets one time to draw the enemies out. But that was not going to be the case in all of their victories in the land of Palestine. As a matter of fact, God would give them other laws and say, now go out and slay the enemy. Go out and do this, do that, and do that. Now that was a natural law of obedience that God had given to them. No matter how much they prayed, no matter how much Joshua said, all right, Lord, do this and that. No, it was two laws working together. Their law of obedience of what God said, then God's supernatural would come behind it and bring to pass what he said. But both of them are correlating together to make the same thing happen. You understand? Now, let me explain to you, sort of like sound waves. Now, right here tonight on this platform is a monitor to my right and one to my left. A lot of times when I go in different churches and you'll find situations like this where you've got two monitors or you got two main speakers in the building. Many times the concept many years ago and still is today, for those who don't understand sound waves, you'll find a speaker setting over like this and you'll find one setting like this. Now what happens is most people think that is the appropriate way because they don't understand the way sound waves work. But actually what will happen is when the sound waves come out of this speaker and out of this speaker at the same time, they'll come right out and they'll meet about in the middle. And wherever they meet, they will actually cancel out each other. Same way on this platform. Now, one of these monitors is turned this way, one's turned that way, and they're actually turned at different angles like this. The reason is that so when these sound waves come out of here, that I'm standing where? Right in the middle. Now, they could be so loud, they're about to burst your eardrums, and I can't even hear them. Why? It's because the way the sound waves are coming together. Now they're pulsating from this one, pulsating from this one, and they're coming together just like this, and they meet right here where I'm standing. They come together. Where do you think noise reduction technology comes from? How do you think it works? It works by the very same concept. So it's these frequencies, and you got one coming from your left ear, one coming from your right ear, and they meet in the middle of your not head. I mean, they meet in the middle of your head. And that's how that you have these noise-canceling headphones or microphones because of the way they're built. The easiest way to describe it is take a mixer over here with a beater and a mixer over here with a beater and turn it on in a puddle of water, and you'll watch as the waves begin to accumulate. And when they come in the middle, they will actually come together and make one, and they'll dissolve. Now it's the same way in the sense of us trying to apply a supernatural law of God when we don't apply the natural law that we're supposed to do. Oh, I want to be closer to God. I want to be closer to God. Well, do you read your Bible and pray every day? Oh, but Brother Donnie, I don't have time for that. I want you to pray for me. Well, I can do this side, but it ain't going to do much good until you do this side, because it's going to cancel out right in the middle, which is going to be where you live. So there is a part. Now, it's that way naturally. It's that way in our health. It's that way with lots of things in life. There's many things that we go through, friend, that is not brought on us by the devil. It is not brought on us by God. It is brought on ourselves. Well, praise the Lord. Now, whenever we're looking at these thirsts, both of them are left in a child of God. Now, watch how he says that there's a control tower of the soul, one of the body. Each tower is a warning caller for the needs of the other. Each one calls to the need for what the caller is calling for, and it sends out a wave of warning. For instance, instance, the flesh thirsts to satisfy the desires that's in the body. Now, is that sinful? Not necessarily. It depends upon what those desires are. Now, because the body is neutral, now remember the neutrality of the body, because God leaving it that way, even when you were in sin, the body was neutral in that it could cry and it could be moved on by the Spirit of God. But because of the neutrality of the body, even the new birth does not make the body to where the body can never yield to weakness and shortcomings and fall short of the glory of God. And the saints said, this is why we have to constantly repent of things that we do wrong or say wrong or have the wrong attitude. Anybody still have the wrong attitude every now and then? Well, bless your little old hearts. For instance, the flesh thirsts to satisfy the desires that's in the body. And the spirit desires for the things that's in the soul. And many times these war one against the other. Now, not always, but notice his terminology now. Not every time, but many times. Sometimes they coincide and they correlate together in a very harmonious blend. It's wonderful when you do it. It's actually, you're the one who learns how to do that by the grace of God. God's not the one who's doing this. Now, what I'm talking about, it is you learning how, by the grace of God, to discipline yourself and bring the law in your flesh subject to the law in your soul. Now, will you ever convert it? You will not. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It cannot ever be born again. It must be changed, and that's when we receive the new body. Now, he said that's in the soul, the desire is, and many times these war one against the other. So the soul will desire to get closer to God, to do what's right. The soul will desire to forgive those that talk about you. The soul will want to turn the other cheek, and the flesh, after you turn the other cheek, wants to roll up the fist and bust their cheek. Or the flesh may not, maybe you're not violent, but you'll do it on Facebook. Well, hallelujah. Facebook. Now, you know, the Bible used to be the infallible word of God, but now it's the gospel according to Facebook. My, my. Notice now, many times these war one against the other. We find that's what's a great trouble today, that too many people try to live between these two desires. Now, you cannot live between them. You must take sides. And when you do, you will still have both, but you're no longer trying to please the flesh, and that is the unregenerate part of you, and trying to please the soul at the same time, and 50-50 and 60-40 and 75-35 and all that. That will not work, my friends. So you must identify yourself that I'm going to please God first and foremost. Then the desires that are in my flesh, you know, I may want to go hunting, I may want to go fishing, I may want to do this and that and the other, and that's all right. But all of that will come subject to the first and foremost desire, which is the control tower of the soul. Then this other one takes its place under subjection. The word there that Paul and Peter both use as far as subjection or subject in the New Testament is hupotasso. And it is coming under a military order. It is a general and a captain and a private and so on and so on. It is also so the arrangement on a musical instrument, keys like on a piano. For those of you that know the simple thing as I do, whenever you push down C on the piano, you know, you can hit a note or you can make a key. You can do the left hand or you can do the right hand together. And each one of those are harmonizing according to the octave on the piano or the organ or the guitar itself. And you bring them all together to make one harmonic sound. And it's the same way with what God wants our soul and our spirit to be. It's a much greater overcoming power than if he would have saved your body in the beginning. This way, it is a constant daily victory by the grace of God. If he would have saved your soul, saved your body, took all, everything else, gave you a brand new body, there'd been no more trials, no more tests. My, the millennium would be on. But instead, he left us in this. We find that too many people try to live between those two desires, and And for one of them the things of the earth, and the other desires the things of heaven. Now notice the very next paragraph in this. Like Paul said, he describes it in Romans 7:21, when I would do good, then evil is nigh. When you try, did you ever have that experience, Christians, that when you're trying to do something that's worthwhile, and you go to make an effort to do something that's good, and then you find out there's the devil on every hand just to upset you. Now, you know, he don't have to move far. I mean, he's just right here next door. So he's right here with you. As I said last Sunday, you know, that you want to try to move away from everything that's wrong and evil. And my, you're going to go out on an island by itself, you and your family, and get away from all sin. And you pack up your suitcase and you head out. And you packed up the suitcase of your worst enemy, which is you. Now, you believe that Paul was a man of God that had the Holy Ghost. You believe that Paul had been converted, really truly changed. Now let's look at a contrast then that left in a regenerate son of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one called up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He repeats it again. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Isn't that wonderful? Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. Now watch Paul as he divides himself from his vessel. Now he's not really sure if he was in the flesh or out of the flesh. But he knows that he can bring no glory and no honor to his human tabernacle. But he says, I will glory in that one that was caught up. Now he says, just make sure so that you understand. He said, I'm not sure if I was in the body or out of the body. I can't really tell. But I want glory in the flesh. Now he said, of such a woman I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Now what a strange accompaniment, you know exactly where I'm going, you Bible readers, that after such a visitation and such a powerful revelation, that verse 7 would come along with this. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, plural, there was given to me a thorn in my spirit, a thorn in my soul. Where was it? A thorn in my flesh. Why? Soul didn't need it. Soul's born again. The flesh ain't. Notice now, oh my, unless I should be exalted above measure. Well, wait a minute. Don't the Holy Ghost keep you humble? Ain't the Holy Ghost enough just to keep a man humble? Praise the Lord, saints. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Now let me just tell you something right up front. Men around this message who feel like they are so revelated and they are beyond everybody else in this message and they don't have thorns with them, I'd run from them if I was you. A man whose ministry is not persecuted, hated, despised, run down. He does not have battles and troubles. If I was you, I'd run quick. There ain't a man that God don't give great revelations to that thorns don't come along with them. Why? Because God knows he needs them. Well, hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Why? Pride is naturally in the heart of every person. Converted or not converted. Now, this is the thing that God is watching with Paul. What was the benefit of actually even doing this for Paul? I don't know. I don't know what benefit it was to the body at all. I don't know if he ever actually reiterated to Luke, to John, to Mark, to any of his family, if any of the church ever even knew, or if it was something strictly personal for Paul himself, that maybe Paul needed this type of supernatural encouragement. I don't know. I just don't know what the reason of it was. But I know it was so great and so profound that God had to let something come, which we know is the infirmity, the prophet tells us, in his eyes, and he would hit him, and then it would back off, and then he would hit him, and then it would back off, and it was constantly something from this time on that bothered him, and Paul needed it to help him stay humble. Is this your Bible? You do believe your Bible? Notice now, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Now, knowledge, gifts, and revelations can actually puff up and cause human pride. I find it so amazing that message folks don't think this kind of pride is sin. That somehow they think we are exempt from this. This is what caused the devil's fall in the beginning. Amen. Brother Bram said this is what caused Saul, his fall, was pride. Saul becomes so elevated in his own eyes and in his own thinking that he no longer needed the prophet of God to help guide him and instruct him. And yet, friends, there are folks around this message that are eat up with spiritual pride. That's why they feel like they don't need a pastor. They don't need some preacher standing in the pulpit and tell them how to live and what to do. Bless God, they can listen to the tape. They can push play. They don't need no preacher. They're eat up with demonic pride. Exactly right. Every one of us need help from God, including this preacher in the pulpit tonight. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been serving God. We all need help, and we need it from one another. That's right. Now notice, unless revelations and great power of God and gifts of God are counterbalanced by the grace of God, it would tend to make the one receiving this become elevated and full of pride, and those who are around him will feel exactly the same way. This is why I strike you here in the church. I'm going to continue to do so. Don't you never get in your mind that I am some special preacher. Don't you never get in your mind this is some special church. Don't you never get in your mind that we're some kind of special something or another because of what we are. We're only what we are by the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God tonight, we'd be out on Saturday night drinking and running around, and only God knows what. It is the grace of God to us tonight that helps us. There is a pride that tends to go with the kind of message that we have because it separates us from the rest of the people and makes us different from the rest of the people. And if we're not careful, we'll be elevated and stick our nose up in the air. You're only saved tonight by the mercy of God. You're only bride tonight by the mercy of God. You can see serpent seed by the mercy of God. You can see the message of the hour by the mercy of God. Grace must counterbalance such an understanding and a revelation. You know, the danger of this was that Paul could begin to feel like he was one of heaven's favorites. Now that's perfectly fine as long as you realize that heaven has millions of favorites. But when you begin to think you're pretty much the only one in this category, you're in trouble already. And this is where preachers go. This is what's caused all these moves around the message of all these men. Look at all these moves, and we can point them back pretty much to one man. Why? He felt like he was one of heaven's favorites. You see, that's the difference between them and Brother Branham. If Brother Branham had had that attitude, God would have never used him. That's right. Now, if Paul was in danger of feeling this, what about us? But why would he, Brother Chairman? He's converted. He's got the Holy Ghost. He's one of the most gifted men that ever lived on the earth. Why in the world would he feel this? Because his flesh is not converted. And the control tower in the body. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. The control tower in our body, let's be honest, we love recognition. We like to be acknowledged. We like to be made over. Well, I'm going to preach with or without you. We like our names being called, if they're being called in a nice way. We like to be acknowledged. We like for people to make over us and make us feel special and very favored in their eyes. Now, come on, Happy Valley. That's exactly right. There's something about the flesh. So here, you imagine now spiritually that the devil could have turned this around on Paul and have told him, do you realize Peter's never even been carried off the earth? Peter's never even made it to the first heaven or the second heaven. John something, he's never even carried up as high as you are. Ain't nobody in the New Testament ever seen what you've seen. Think how God loves you so much. You are so favored by God. Those are wonderful things if they are kept in the right place. And you're saying that to the soul can keep it balanced. But when you're telling that to the flesh... Oh my, hallelujah. Don't you go to telling your old self how good you are, because your old self loves that. Tell your old self you ain't no count. Watch him, he'll pout on you, that lip will roll out, he'll sit there and pout around and cry on you. Oh, and I'm just speaking about me. I suppose all the rest of y'all are ready for the rapture. I'm sorry that I've delayed you all these 60 years. I'm trying to hurry up. Now, unless I should be exalted above measure, God sends a messenger of the devil. A prophet of God who has visions and sees angels and sees paradise. And God sends a messenger of the devil to counterbalance his revelations. Oh my. You see, he who is eminent in gifts, divine understanding, supernatural wisdom and knowledge, is most prone to this pride. Well, praise the Lord. Oh my, speak to us, Jesus. He who is successful in business many times is prone to such. Those who look at themselves, well, I made myself. I'll tell you one thing. I started out with two nickels. I rubbed them two nickels together and I got this idea of doing this and that and the other. I reached down and grabbed a hold of my bootstraps and pulled me up. I've tried that a few times. The only thing I've ever done is just pull my boot up on my foot. I can't figure out what in the world you done that you was able to raise yourself higher than I do. I reached down and I put on a pair today. I reached down and grabbed my red ostrich boots and reached down and grabbed a hold of them and pulled them right up on my foot. I didn't raise 6 inches. Is off the ground. I don't understand what in the world you done when you grabbed a hold. If God gives you the ability to make money, you ought to thank God. He's the one who gave you the ability. Praise the Lord. But you see, those who succeed, those who sometimes are singers or musicians or songwriters, and those gifts coming from God, it's easy for them to become in this type of state to where they feel elevated above others. My songs are prettier. My songs have more meaning. My gift is greater. I'm so gifted that people just can't stand it. I mean, people just have to touch me. I'm so gifted. I know you laughed at that, but somebody in our message said that. That they were so gifted. It's mysticism, friends. That's idol worship. Oh my. Now please don't misunderstand me. He who lives closest to God is one of those who's in such great danger of this kind of pride. Because he looks at his walk, he looks at his life, or she, and sees that God deals with them. And maybe they have more time to be with God. They have more time to listen to tapes, more time to pray, more times to do all these things. And then that always brings closeness to the Lord, of course. And they're able to sense it, and they know that God deals with them. And I am convinced many of the things that happen to us supernaturally in our lives are never to be repeated to other people. God deals with us, and there's things that God deals with us and shares with us. They are for no one else but you and God. But many folks ruin their experience with God of ever going on and multiplying by being a blabbermouth and telling it every time something happens. They have to tell somebody. You say, how do you know that? Because I've been one of them blabbermouths. God has dealt with me and given me supernatural experiences, and I share it. And as soon as it leaves my mouth, I know I should have never said one thing. You feel like you stole candy from a baby. Why? Oh, that would be a testimony. Some things aren't to be a testimony. They are to be private, intimate times between you and God. And you know that bad feeling that you're feeling, you know why that is? It's because it elevated the flesh. It elevated our pride, oh God, and made us feel somewhat a little bit above our brothers and somewhat superior. May God help us. I believe we would have more experiences with God, more supernatural time with God, if we would learn to keep our mouths shut. Listen to this, pride in Campbellsville, Kentucky, 1955. My subject would be pride. Oh, pride, such a cursed thing. So awful. So evil is pride. Cursed? Awful? Evil? My, my. Unwelcome Christ. What a horrible curse pride is. Oh, you're too good. Sure, we go to a church that knows better than that. We don't believe in divine healing. Oh, we have nothing to do with that. Now, once you notice, he ain't talking about nothing about the car you're driving, nothing about the clothes you got, nothing about the house you live, but he's dealing with spiritual pride. Oh, we don't believe in preachers where we go. Well, you're off the word. Let me move it a little bit farther where Happy Valley can relate to. We don't need no evangelists at Happy Valley. All we need is our pastors. You're off the word. We need more than the pastor. Well, we don't need evangelists here. We're deeper than that. So-and-so church is deeper than that. You know what you're saying? You're bringing yourself right into the very frame of this quote. Pride. You don't think you need somebody to come in and get on your hide? Sure you do. I do. My, my, again, unwelcome Christ in Jeffersonville. Now, you know, this sermon was so powerful when he preached this pride down in Campbellsville, Kentucky. This is actually the place Sister Nellie got saved. We stood in that building several years ago and had some meetings there. It was quite amazing to stand where the prophet was and had those meetings. Sister Nellie Cox, give her heart to the Lord there in those meetings. Later on in the week, Brother Charlie started, you know, getting under conviction. He felt it then, but he didn't respond to God. But he began to talk to God as he was working the night shift in the plant where he was. The next time Brother Brandon preaches it, he preaches it up there in Jeffersonville. Brother Charlie comes up, and he comes up and gives his heart to God, so-called. Brother, he tells Brother Brandon, what happened? He said, Brother Charlie, you settle it with God right there in your workplace. You see, you don't have to be at an altar. You can do it in Walmart. You can do it at Lowe's. You can do it at Home Depot. It's not the condition of your body, not the position of your body. It's the condition of your soul when you're ready to meet God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh my, notice here in the unwelcome Christ when he preaches it there in Jeffersonville. Oh my, oh, pride is such an evil thing. But do we look at it as being evil? Our conception of sin is drinking and smoking and pornography and... So was the devil watching porn on the north side of heaven? Is that what got him kicked out? He's smoking a Pall Mall, and then he got the Pall Mall done, and he smoked a Winston, and then he, and God said, you shouldn't smoke in Pall Malls now, devil. It was his pride. This is why God is so against this type of pride. It's satanic. Shouldn't we take a pride in cleaning up and cleaning around our house and this and another? Sure. Just don't let any of it possess you. Can I go on? Notice again, I stand at the door and knock. There's another little door called pride. Oh, what a horrible little black devils is pinned up in the heart, that heart of pride, thinking you're better than somebody else. Well, I wouldn't send my children over there. They don't dress right. The people who goes there isn't my class. If Christ is Lord in your heart, we're all one class. Praise the Lord. One class. Come on, saints. One class. Oh, my. Because of one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Pride feels a little complex that you have. Oh, you don't want Jesus to touch it because it would degrade your social standing in the community. I'd rather degrade my social standing in the community than rub my name off the Lamb's Book of Life. Wow. Oh my. But they won't let him in. That little pride holds him out. Again he says, you see what pride and selfishness does? It shuts you out. Lord, children. It shuts you out from the kingdom of God. So a person, they can stop smoking, stop drinking, stop running around and have pride and selfishness and still be lost. I wonder sometimes we think, what will happen to this generation? Lord have mercy. What would he say if this is 1958, Brother Bert? What would he say now? My. Too often men, listen to this, are signally used of the Lord. They become lifted up with pride. Too often when men are signally used of the Lord, they become lifted up with pride. So God allows this to attack Paul. And he would pray and it would leave him. And then maybe he'd start having some real powerful meetings or more revelations. Who knows? Great things would go to happening again. And Paul's flesh, he could feel it rising. Your voice is talking to him. Ain't nobody preaching this like you. You see, if the devil cannot anoint the man himself, he'll put people around him. He'll go to talking to him. They mean well. Many times they mean well. But they're trying to talk you out of your position in Christ Jesus. Y'all going to preach to me, you're going to look at me. Now, you know, for whatever it was that God would allow this thing then to come right back on Paul again. And he would battle and he would deal with it and then it would leave him and then it would come again. What was it? It was a reminder. You are but a man. Even the Romans and the Roman circus and generals, when they would come through after a great conquest, and they would come through riding through the parade at Rome. And they would take the crown, which was made of leaves and twigs. A servant would climb up in the chariot and hold the crown over the victor's head. Here was tens of thousands of Roman citizens as they were cheering and cheering and cheering. He's in a beautiful white chariot trimmed in gold. Has beautiful horses there with some of the finest leather. And some of the most, oh my, just magnificent horses you can imagine. While he's there, this servant hangs this crown over his head. These words are being said just every little bit. Remember, thou art but a man. Remember, thou art but a man. Now this crown was only made out of leaves and twigs. But yet that moment in glory would so tend to make them become so elevated. Oh, I would to God, God could help every one of us, that we could get our stinking selves out of the way so the Holy Ghost could move among us and visit us and be able to speak to us and work through us and do wonderful, wonderful things. Oh, I read it years and years ago, and it breaks my heart every time I quote it since. I think it's question Exodus 59 when the prophet said, God has a hard time finding a man that he can use, one that he can put his hand on, because he said the more that God uses a man, the bigger he becomes in his own eyes. God uses him and he wants to become a God or an angel to the people. But if he can allow himself to submit to God, and the more God uses him, the littler he gets. And the more God uses him, the littler he gets. Oh, children, if we can find that out in our walk with God, the more God shows us, we humble ourselves. The more God reveals to us, we humble ourselves. And the more we humble ourselves, the more he gets us. The more he makes real to us. Why would we have to deal with such a thing, Brother Phil? Because this is unconverted. You watch songwriters, you watch singers, you watch musicians, you watch preachers. You watch people that find favor in the eyes of God. How many of them are able to maintain that spot and keep that spot? It's amazing, because Satan knows the more God gives them, if he can elevate their pride with it, they're cutting off their supply line. And God will start giving them less. But if they can humble themselves, the more God gives them, the more they humble. Now notice, God's not going to do this. He's telling us to do it. How blessed we are to have some of the musicians we have in our church. Have some of the singers we have in our church. Brother Aaron, Sister Lindsay, yesterday singing at the wedding. And those of you that was here and those of you that streamed it, it was absolutely beautiful. Just created such an atmosphere here in this place. I thought, what a gifted young man and a young woman. Oh my, you know, it makes you just want to scream out to them and others, stay where God can use you. Stay humble, every preacher here, every gifted person, stay where God can use you. The more you humble yourself, the more God can do with you. And God, knowing the abundance of the revelations given to Paul were so great, Paul needed help. So God assigned him a bad devil. Praise the Lord. Those of you that have problems and troubles and difficulty, and you say, there must be something wrong. There might be something good. You may have found favor in the eyes of God, and God is watching out for you. As I said, churches and preachers and singers and people that do not have any difficulty associated along with their so-called greatness, I'd run from them if I was you. Because it proves God don't think about them as highly as you do. Give me a few more minutes. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Now Paul says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. God, let this devil get away from me. But this was God's answer. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. So grace through thorns counterbalances abundance of revelations. Friends, is it any wonder our prophet was so persecuted, so hated, so run down, so despised? Oh, I know. A lot of the message folks will swallow their tongue and their nostrils and their glasses and everything when they hear me say it. Brother Branham was a man just like us. The angel of the Lord had to rebuke Brother Branham whenever he would come to him in the vision and said, you explain this. And he said, you didn't even know nothing about it yourself. Come on now. We are all human beings. And this is in the element of humanity. Whether you like it or not, you'll never be free from trouble. You'll never be free from heartache. Brother Jim will never be free from difficulties. Oh, if I can just get through my job. If I can just retire. Oh my, no more trouble, no more heartaches. And then you wake up the first morning of retirement and you've got new problems. And you've gotten in trouble. And you say, what in the world? All these years, I've been thinking it was them. It ain't them. It's you, darling. It's you. You need this accompaniment of this unseen visitor to aggravate you. Why? It helps you. Come on now. Everybody ease up. There you go. Oh. One thorn would be something. My Lord, I feel like I live in a rose bush. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you think it's all around you everywhere. Maybe I need that many. Maybe you need that many. Maybe you need a thorn at work. He's about that tall and about that wide, and he hates you. And you don't understand what in the world you've ever done to him, but God says you need him. You ought to grab him Monday morning and just give him a big hug. I know, friends, we don't want these. I know, we don't. It's just our flesh. We don't want them. But if God assigns them, we need them. Praise God. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul still had a black dog. Now, I know I've heard a few preachers in the Message say they didn't have them, but I always laugh when I hear it because it's the black dog saying they don't have one. Because the white dog would admit what the prophet said is right. So he says, God, please, please, take this from me. I beg you, please. God says, my grace will be sufficient for you. Brother Jim, what a revelation. What an understanding. I love you, Paul. Imagine when it clicked to him. I need this. I need to be hated. I need, for Paul, this was what worked. So when he'd write the one book, he said, I wrote it in large letters, which meant large in size. So imagine, Randy, he'd get up dazed and his eyes would be all running, maybe mattered together, as we'd say. He couldn't see after meeting the pillar of fire. God would let that devil move into his eyes and it would become an infirmity. He was infirm, that's what it was. He'd get up here and he was going to write and the inspiration come. God, I can't see. Please help me, Lord. Lord, I don't want to forget this inspiration. Please help me, Lord. And he'd try to set and try to take whatever matter, writing material that he had, and try to wind up making it real big. Oh, God, please help me. God, please. You imagine those words. My grace is sufficient. Paul, I'm doing this because I love you. Amen. I guarantee you, there's times God has let our world be turned upside down. He may have been stopping you from something you was facing, or you're fixing to get really exalted in pride or arrogance. And God lets something terrible happen to you. And you say, oh God, Lord, what have I done? What? The mercy and the grace of God. Don't you love Him? I may like to be remembered tonight before the Lord. Let's bow our heads if you would. Lord Jesus, I realize these are simple things tonight. But yet I know too, in their simplicity, they are so profound and they are so true. Lord God, I'll be so glad when I'm set free from my body. If I go by the way of death, or if I go by the change, that I'll lead my body into this change. Lord Jesus, help us each one tonight. Men, women, boys, girls, preachers, singers, songwriters, musicians, deacons, whatever we are, those that will hear this service. Help each of us, Lord, to know the key of you doing more for us is humbling ourselves. Help us to be careful with what we share. Lord, I'm very sorry. There's times I've repeated things which was for me and you alone. I'm very sorry. I've told things I should have never even said. God, help us to realize how the flesh is. Even Brother Branham sang one night in preaching, talking about a man. He said he could have took the Bible in just a few minutes, tied him up. And all of a sudden, just in a matter of seconds, he turned that around and said, the Lord could have revealed something that would have maybe helped this man, because somehow he said it in the flesh. And it brought an element of pride, apparently. So he restated it. What a man. Lord Jesus, help us as your people to humble ourselves before you, Lord. O Lamb of God, dear God, I ask you, may our lives be in such a state that you can reveal more things, greater. You can do more things through us and with us. And when you do, we just humble ourselves. That's the key to magnification in your eyes. That's the key to spiritual multiplication, is humility. So we just humble ourselves and walk on and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we let you reveal more and do more. And we're getting closer and closer and closer until we finally get like Enoch, that we can't live in this world no more. We love you tonight, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. We raise our hands in your presence, Lord. It's a universal sign of surrender. Lord, I want to be able to surrender everything within my capacity that I can tonight. I wish it could be so that I could surrender tonight everything forever. I did that in my soul years ago. But I know I'm growing and I'm learning. And as I do, it's like I surrender and I learn more and I surrender and I learn more and I surrender. So I ask you to help me to surrender the full capacity of what I can in this service tonight. Everything that I can give away. Everything I can surrender. Oh, Jesus, I love you, Lord. I love you, my King. Praise your name, Lord. Use us, Lord. Lord, if you want to give us a dream and you don't want us to tell nobody about it, fine. You want to let us get alone in our prayer calls and we go to speaking in tongues and, Lord, maybe even prophesy something. Maybe you don't want us to tell nobody, fine, Lord. Help us to not get in our old flesh and become arrogant, Lord, and feel like we're this and that and the other. Forgive us, Lord. May you lead us, dear God. By doing so, we're hindering ourselves from having closer walks with you because of exalting our old flesh and its pride. Lord Jesus, forgive me, Father. Forgive me for the thorns that you placed in my life. I've asked you to remove, and the difficulties and whatever more. I'm so sorry. I need these things, Lord. I'm not asking for any more than what I need, for sure. But Lord, I pray you'd put there what you know I need in my life. Don't never let me become arrogant, Lord. Don't never let me become in pride where I feel I'm one of heaven's least. Oh my. I have things that's so special. Hardly nobody has what I have. God, keep that devil away from me, Lord. Help me to realize I'm only one among many, Lord. Oh, Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. We humbly open our hearts to you, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus. May we do as the song that we sang when we were coming out, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. You've opened our eyes to revelations of so many things. May you come by tonight and do the same thing. May this be a life-changing service that we can have our eyes opened up to a greater walk with you. It's humility, love, surrender. Grant it, Lord Jesus. I mean, once that was all your heart, hey, let's sing that, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to us tonight in a greater way, Lord. Amen, Father. Open our understanding, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We exalt your blessed name. Sing it, Harry. Let's worship together.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Sing it to him now.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see
you. I want to see you, Lord. Jesus.
I want to see you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Can you imagine Brother Branham coming down to the last month of his life and him saying, I don't know about you, but I've got such a hunger for God. He said, I long for them mountaintop experiences like I used to feel when I first got saved. This man had walked with God, had seen angels, had seen thousands of miracles, had seen so many things almost beyond our human comprehension. And yet a month before his departure, and he's longing to be more and more and more. To feel like I did when I first got saved. Remember when he dedicated the place there in Tucson Tabernacle? What house will you build for me? 11:21-23, somewhere in there, 65, whenever he has that. And you imagine the people there following the message have Elijah with them. But he says, I notice that there's a drying among us. And he said, our kids is out running up and down and riding their bicycles on the side of the street and people going to movies and this, that, and other on Sunday. He accredited and attributed it to them not having a church to go to. They not only had the tapes, they had the prophet himself. He said, I get among my brothers and I sense this something of discernment, sensing where the brother is. And he said, we need to be together. The message don't need to be just the flame of the hour, he said. It needs to be the flame of our hearts. You mean Elijah didn't replace church? God never intended for anything to replace church. Praise the Lord. Friends, that's how essential it is for us to come together as the children of God. They have, Brother Jim, Elijah themselves. They're with Elijah, eating with him, being around him and everything. But they had no church to go to. And it was not keeping them. Oh my. Praise be to God. Oh, I don't need it. Pride. I don't need to hear preachers. Pride. Friends, you understand, many of these folks in this message are going to wake up one day and the rapture took place and they're going to be left here. If pride got Satan kicked out of heaven, it will not let you go in the rapture. Oh, I don't need this. I don't need to be. You humble yourself before God and say, God, tell me what I need. I don't know. I don't know what I need. God, speak to me, rebuke me, correct me, do whatever I need, Lord. That's what I want. Amen. Oh, praise God. Ain't it been good to be at the whooping tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, this does you more good than sometimes running and jumping and shouting around. I know you won't. Some of you won't agree with me, but this will actually do you more good than some of the deepest preaching you ever heard in your life. This will make you where you can get ready for deep stuff. That's exactly right. Oh my. Turn and shake hands with somebody and tell them, God bless you, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Palms of victory, Harry. Let's sing together a little song before we go. Hallelujah. That's it. Shake hands with one another. You're going to spend eternity with these folks. Amen. I saw a wayworn traveler in tattered garments clad, and traveling up the mountain, it seemed that he was sad. His back was laden heavy, his strength was almost gone. He shouted as he journeyed, deliverance has come. In all of victory crown, our glory palm of victory I shall wear. The summer sun was shining.
Steps seemed mighty slow, but he kept pressing onward, for he was going home. Still shouting as he journeyed, deliverance will come. Then on the victory crown of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. I saw him in the evening, the sun was sinking low. He'd overcome the mountain and reach the vale below. He saw that golden city, his everlasting home. And he shouted loud, Hosanna, deliverance has come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory. saw him in the evening. The sun was sinking low. He'd overcome the mountain and reach the vale below. He saw that pyramid city, his everlasting home, and he shouted loud, Hosanna, deliverance has come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory,
for a Bible or a songbook or something tonight. I know I'm going to wave palms in the sense spiritually whenever I get there. It's not going to be just because that I've reverted back to an 18-year-old boy. It isn't just going to be because me and Carol's young forever and you all are young forever. It's not that I'm living in streets of gold and a great beautiful place like heaven is. But one of the major things will be I'm free from me. I'm free from all my hindrances, everything that got in my way. I'm free from me. My fears, my shortcomings, my complexes. I think I'll just go ahead and praise Him for it tonight. I'm going to be free from me. That's what clashes among us, friends, is our old flesh. What causes you husbands and wives and you mamas and daddies to get into issues with your children and brothers and church and all that? What is it? It's this. Do you honestly think your Holy Ghost argues with your brother's Holy Ghost? Do you honestly think that your Holy Ghost can argue with your wife's Holy Ghost? There ain't no way. What is it? It's this. It's this. And we're held in this old prison. But not for long. Not for long. Oh my, let's sing it together. Let's give Him a little wave offering tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to be young and handsome. I never have been, but I'm going to be. Young and handsome. I'm going to get my dark hair back. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to get my young wife back. You're going to get yours back. We're going to get a body that will never age. A body that will never hinder us again. Praise God. We'll worship Him forever. We'll eat and drink. We'll eat grapes and drink water and worship God. Oh, I wish it could happen tonight. Oh, glory to God. I wish it could happen tonight. Oh my, sing it for us, hey. Come on, let's wave them, not palms, but handkerchiefs and Bibles and songbooks. Hands. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God. We're going to get a new body. Thank you, Lord. We're going to be young men and young women. We're going to live for eternity in your presence, Lord. We're going to worship you. We're going to pray. We're going to live eternal life in a human body.
Sad. His back was laden heavy, his strength was almost gone, but he shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come. Then palms
thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you for every trial that you and your wisdom allow to come to pass in our life. Lord, if I need thorns, so be it. If I need difficulty, so be it. Lord, whatever I need to keep me where you can use me, Lord, to help your people. Grant it, Lord, as long as I've got breath, as long as I've got sense, as long as I've got ability, Lord. Lord Jesus, humanly, to be able to move about, I want to be an instrument that can help your children, Father. Help me, Lord, that I can always stay where you can use me. Help me, Lord, I'll never get elevated. Help me, I'll never become full of pride or arrogant. Lord, help us that we'll never look down our noses to others. Lord, may we always stay small in our own sight, because that's where it's needed most. Grant it, Lord. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. And when it's all said and done, we'll bow our heads and say, we are unprofitable servants. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise be to God. We worship you tonight, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your presence that I sense is near us, Lord. I know you're pleased with us tonight, Lord. I know you are. I know it moves your heartstrings, as it were. Hallelujah, this is what you want, because this is the life you lived when you were on the earth. You humbled yourself from your birth to your journey to your walk to everything you did. You humbled yourself. Then you humbled yourself to death that you could conquer it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Can we sing together Amazing Grace? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Imagine, saints, what it'll be when we're all gathered together there. I don't know what we'll sing. I have no idea what songs will be there. Can you imagine when those voices lift together? All the redeemed. And we finally made it home. Let's sing together now. This great old hymn of the church. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Raise our hands, shall we? Let's just raise our hands. Not only in the visible audience, those of you that are streaming there in your living room, in your car, wherever you are. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, praise God. When we've been there, when we've been there for 10 years.